and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're picking things up here in John chapter 7, verse number 37. We'll go ahead and reread these passages to get the context and what's at hand. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles there in Jerusalem, when he's presenting himself to Israel, having been challenged earlier in the chapter by his half-brothers, his siblings, about declaring himself and revealing himself into the world, he goes to this feast and he openly begins to teach and bring his ministry to Jerusalem. And the last day of the feast, the day of Holy Convocation, the wrapping up of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is happening in the fall after harvest, those of Israel having come to bring their offering unto the Lord, they're not, according to the Old Testament scriptures, they're not to partake of the new harvest until they have brought that offering. They are only to eat out of the old store until that offering is brought, and then when they go home, they can begin to partake of the new crop and the harvest of the new crop. He says, and it says in verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Not talking about physical thirst, not talking about what the woman at the well at Sychar was looking for, having to be able to never come and draw water from the well again, but no, he's speaking of that which is spiritual. Just as he spoke to her, he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And so the Lord says that in faith in him will bring a fountain of life, a fountain of water of life within the soul of the individual. And this is, and then we have qualification of this here in verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now this is somewhat of a controversial passage, in that it's believed by some that this is that until the Lord Jesus Christ had ascended back to the Father, there was no Holy Spirit working within man. I'm not of that opinion. I believe that the references about the Spirit of God regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw over in John chapter 5, "The Lord quickeneth whom he will, just as the Father quickeneth whom he will." That quickening of a soul, that quickening of one who is dead in trespasses and sin, those of mankind, a man, woman, boy, or girl, that the Lord saves, he does so by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that this reference here is talking more so about the church and the manifestation of the Spirit of God being in his church, in his churches, after his ascension, the imparting of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in the Lord's churches, as he will tell about later on, in even in this book of the Gospel of John. "But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." Okay, so that's happened. That's happened since Adam. That's how Adam was saved, is by the Spirit of God indwelling. David makes much mention of the Spirit within, and when he had sinned with Bathsheba, and then in Psalm 51, as he petitions the Lord for forgiveness and confesses his sin before the Lord, he says, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And of course, when one is saved, the indwelling of the Spirit of God is permanent. The Lord Jesus Christ even talks about that in the Gospels, about the strong man is only cast out of the house by one stronger than he. And that's a direct indication of the Spirit of God within man. "For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I believe that this is speaking about the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in the Lord's church, not being yet given. John the Baptist preached earlier in this book and in other of the Gospels. It tells that John preached that this is the one, the one that is amongst us, is the one, speaking of Jesus, the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's the one that saves, and he's the one that condemns unto hell and the lake of fire for eternity. And so in verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. That's the indwelling of the Spirit, that flowing up of rivers of living water within by the Spirit. The woman at the well at Sychar, when the Lord dealt with her and then saved her and revealed himself unto her, she then had that Spirit within. She did have that living water, that river of living water within her. And so she went back to Sychar, witnessed to those women that she had done wickedness with, at least some of them, no doubt, and said, come meet a man. Come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. And so, for the Holy Ghost was not yet, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I believe that's the manifestation of the Spirit in his church. Verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. This is the prophet. Now, I believe that that is a reference. It could be a reference to Messiah or the one that would come in the power of Elijah, speaking of John the Baptist. And so there could be some confusion about that, but they know that he is there indeed in regard. When he speaks boldly there at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, there's many that say, this has got to be him. This has to be the one. Verse number 41, always a controversy about the Lord. Others said, this is the Christ. Okay, so there's that indication. Some are saying this is the prophet that would precede Christ. But see, that prophet that preceded Christ was John the Baptist. Many of them had already missed him. Some said he's the prophet. Others said this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Oh, so to come out of Galilee, out of Nazareth. But see, Jesus didn't come out of Galilee in the strictest sense. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born in Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as those in Revelation say. So has Christ come out of Galilee? They never ask him where he was born. Hath not, verse number 42, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? He's got to come of the seed of David, some of them recall in the Word of God. And out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was, they some of them knew. And they said, this man is not from Bethlehem. This man is not of the lineage of David. Why would they assume that? Why would the lineage of David abide in Galilee and Nazareth? But they did. Mary is of the lineage of David. Even Joseph, the Lord's stepfather, if you will, is of the lineage of David. But see, because of the way that the leadership and the rule had transitioned and the wickedness that abounded in the nation and the dividing of the nation into Israel and Judah, the captivity, all those things that were stirred and muddled up, and then Israel being sent back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild, and then the occupation of the various nations of that region of Judea over the course of time, the leadership, the rule of the house of David had been foregone. It had been taken over by the Gentiles that occupied the region. It had been delegated to the Herods, as it was in the birth of the days of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even up into the days of his ministry. It had become political, and so they did not follow the order that the Lord had given. And so Joseph, being of the lineage of David, should have been in rule, but was not. Mary, who was of the lineage of David, her family and those of her family should have been in rule, but were not, but rather lived in Galilee. And so, but the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, it was born in Bethlehem. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David? Yes, And if they would have checked his mother and his stepfather out, they would have found it to be so. And out of the town of Bethlehem, he did. They didn't ask him where he was born, where David was. They asked the right questions. They posed the right thing, but they made an assumption that it was not so. Earlier we read where the Lord Jesus Christ said to judge righteous judgment. Don't judge by what we see, but judge by truth and by the information that's gathered. Don't make assumptions. And that's what they did here. Verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of him, and there always is. A hallmark passage, the way that it always is with Christ. There's always a division about Christ. There's no one that sits on the fence about Christ. There are those there that say, no, he's not the Messiah. No way. Others say, well, maybe he's the prophet that's going to precede the Messiah. It's got to be. Others say, well, no doubt he's the Christ. He is the Messiah. And others say, no, he can't be it. Look where he's from. Look at the way he looks. Even the religious leadership in the Gospels, it speaks to them and say, look at him. He from where he comes and the family that he hails from, he can't be a prophet, much less the Messiah. And so there was a division among the people because of him. What do you believe about Christ? What do you believe about Jesus Christ concerning you and your soul and your sin? What do you believe about him? You can't be on the fence about Christ. Either you love him and follow him, or you hate him. And there are many, many people, I believe, that say that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, that he knows them, but they don't obey him. They don't follow him. They don't have a relationship with him. Verse number 44, it says, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Why does it say that? Why is that the indication? Well, the same thing that we saw up in verse number 30. And they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And so it just wasn't time. It wasn't time ordained by the Father for the Lord Jesus Christ to be yielded over into the hands of wicked men. This working of salvation is by the hand of God. God Almighty purposed in eternity past to send his Son to be a ransom for his people, to be a Savior for his people, to be a sacrifice for his people. A body thou hast prepared me, it says in the Old Testament scriptures and reiterated again in Hebrews. The God Almighty, who is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth, that no man has seen, determined that God the Son would become a man, yet without sin, to be a sacrifice for sinners that would be acceptable, suitable, and meet before God. That Jesus Christ, the God-man, would be the sacrifice for sinners, for his people, and that the salvation that God would bring would be without fault or failure. Well, I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.